So in this passage, Paul is urging the Galatians not to go into slavery on account of the false teaching of the Judaizers. Remember, we have learned about the law, that the law was given as a steward, that until faith came, the people of God were kept under guard by the law. We even have read recently in Hebrews, and I believe we have it again next week in the portion that from which the first part of the worship service has been written, that the law was never meant to produce righteousness. It says, for if the law, if there was given a law by which we could become heirs, by which we could become righteous, then there would have never been any need for Jesus to come. The point of the law was to expose our sin. Part of the point of God's law is how unkeepable it is for the fallen children of Adam, that we sin because we are sinners, and therefore a law was given that would keep us looking for that righteous one to come, who would never sin, not in thought or word or deed. Who is that righteous one that was to come? Jesus, absolutely. And so the law, the period of the law, the Mosaic law in the life of the church, was designed to keep them hoping only in Christ, who was promised. But now these Judaizers have come in, and they have said, well, no, in order to be God's real people, you have got to keep all of these things that we were given to keep. As we'll see in next week's passage, days and months and seasons and years and Jewish ceremonial calendar. Amazingly, I have not seen as much of it in the church as I have until I moved to this area. There are people who are trying to take up following the Jewish calendar again. And then, of course, in Galatians, as we'll see soon, circumcision was another thing that they were saying that they had to do. And so Paul says that these Jews were giving themselves and trying to give the Galatians not the son treatment, not the adoption treatment, but the slave treatment, that they would be brought into slavery. Now, this should, if you're a real Christian, it should grate against you. It should irritate you to think of your relationship to God as one of mere slavery. Now, it is true, God is our master, and we are his bondslaves, and we love to serve him. But the Spirit whom he sent into our hearts is whose Spirit, according to verse 6? It's the Spirit of his Son. And so when the Holy Spirit is ministering to us, our union with Christ in our hearts, what does he make us to cry out from our hearts to God? He makes us to cry out, Abba, Father. So he says, now I say that the heir, as long as he's a child, does not differ at all from a slave, though he is master of all, but is under guardians and stewards until the time appointed by the Father. So he says, even so, when we were children, we were in bondage. We were in bondage under the elements of the world. Paul is reminding them that he's a Jew, right? And Paul wasn't just any Jew. Paul was one of the most trained, most faithful Pharisees in all of Judaism at the time. And so he hears about these people who have come into the Galatian church and are trying to get them to keep all the ceremonial law and to maintain their standing with God by how well they do. And he tells them, look, I know that they said that this is the way to be real people of God, but I have been there with the people who told you this. And when we were maintaining our relationship with God that way, we were acting as slaves. Even when we were hoping for Christ to come and using those things properly, we were children but we were still acting as those who are still waiting to come into our adoption, still waiting to come into our inheritance. Could you imagine being adopted by the living God? We had in the worship service last week, as we considered how God cared for Isaac and God cared for Ishmael and how he listens to children. And you know God in Christ as your loving Heavenly Father. Could you imagine being adopted by him and then saying, I'd really like just to be treated as a servant now? And that's what Paul is saying. He says that the people who are teaching you to do this are ignoring the fact that something huge has happened. If you got your Bible open, you can see in verse 4, what is that huge thing that has happened? But when the fullness of time had come, God sent forth his son, born of a woman, born under the law. The living God sent forth his son, and his son was born of whom? A woman. God, the Son, the Creator, became a creature? Now, we've been studying this in the Bible class these last week, so I hope you all can remember when we were talking about how great a humiliation this would be. There is no amount of things that you could take from God to make him a creature. The difference between the creator and the creature is so great that he must add to himself something else altogether. Add creatureliness to himself. And the fact that God the Son did that, but not only did that, what does Philippians 2 say? Doesn't say that although he didn't consider equality with God something to be grasped, he humbled himself and took the form of a man. What does it say? He humbled himself and he took the form of a servant, a slave. Do you see the parallel here? In verse 4, he says, God sent forth his son, born of a woman, born under the law. That which was designed to hold Israel looking forward to the Christ who would come, Jesus had to keep that perfectly. Jesus was the one to whom all those ceremonies applied. Jesus was the one to whom circumcision looked forward. And Jesus was the one who had to keep the law perfectly in order to earn for all of us the blessings that are given to those who trust in Christ. And he says, don't try to do yourself what God the Son became a man. And you got to say man with that kind of, can't believe God became one of those. What God himself, God the Son, became a man in order to do. Our religion, says Paul, is not about how we can try to do it. Our religion is about how God promised and God fulfilled in the fullness of time that his son would become a man in order to do it. And that means that if we try to go back, we both lose that interaction with God and our adoption, in which he has sent forth not just his son to do it, do what was necessary to save us outside of us, what Jesus did in his life and death and resurrection, but we also lose the emphasis on that work which he sent forth the Spirit of his son to do in our hearts, to convince us that through Christ we've been adopted and can call God our very own Abba, our very own Father. So he says, trying to go back and follow these things after Christ has come is both to just not care enough about, to treat as a small thing this huge thing that God has done in sending his son to do it, and to disregard this huge thing that God has done for each of us, into whom he has sent the Holy Spirit to dwell, and into whose hearts he has sent the Spirit of his Son, crying out, Abba, Father. He says, therefore, you are no longer a slave, but a son. And if a son, then an heir of God through Christ Jesus.